For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 166, Edward Norton Controls the World.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, risk our hundred men. For Boston, take place from the family. And ever with a right shot as they bound to touch me no more in the market shop. For Boston, for Boston, our glory is over.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck. Sadly, Blonick is sick. He can't join us. We are going to try our best today because we've got some weird time situations going on right now. So we have some guests joining us for the first part of our Best of 2012 show. We have, of course, our buddy Issues Guy.
Hey, how's it going? Good to be here.
Good to be here. And then we've got our friend, the DCD, the drunk gamer himself.
Merry Christmas! Shitter was full!
And for this first part, because we're doing two... the second part's going to be video games, but for today, we are going to be talking about movies and music. And because DCD has the biggest time constraint right now, we are going to let him go first. And I figured we could probably start with the worst. I would like to hear you shit as hard as you can on the worst movie.
Careful how you ask that, because you don't know what I'm going to do on a microphone here. I'll be honest with you here. I am torn between two particular pieces of shit. And it's probably the only time I'll ever say that. The first one has to be between two remakes. Why was Total Recall remade with Colin Farrell? And why in the hell was Red Dawn remade with Thor? That's what I want to know. Both those were awful. I mean, Total Recall had the great effects and everything like that, but you're seriously telling me that my dream girl is Jessica Biel in a non-acting portion? Right, okay. Yeah. And there's no Quatto in this movie.
Where the fuck was Mars?
There's no Mars.
There's no fucking Mars.
There's just a big drill that goes between London and I don't know, Chicago.
I thought it was China.
I don't know. It's just someplace weird. Who gives
even
a shit?
Bad fucking puns.
Yes.
I mean, there was a note about the 2 weeks chick, and it wasn't even the 2 weeks chick. It was some other guy. And it was poorly thought out. You know, and then Red Dawn, totally unnecessary, rated PG-13. They replaced the Russians with Koreans.
Isn't it technically Homefront the movie?
I know, it's just stupid. It was just
really stupid.
I
couldn't agree with you more on the Total Recall, too. That is the biggest pile of shit of all the crappy fucking remakes that have ever been put together. That is the biggest pile of shit remake.
It was just horrible. True. And then on top of that, the other movie I want to point out, I just call it battle shit. I mean, you're telling me that Rihanna's going to get more screen time than Liam Neeson. I know, right? You know, that'd be like, I think, you know, even at that point, Chris Brown is probably going to hit himself instead. It was just a horrible movie. It was just trying to be Michael Bay light, and it's just terrible. You're telling me that these aliens can ravage every battleship. Oh, but let's get the nostalgic one. That'll save us. And it dies.
I have to admit, I did see Battleship. It wasn't that great of a movie, but I just did find it funny seeing these old guys in the old battleship kicking alien butt. It was stupid, but it was entertainingly stupid.
That was near the end, but I'm like, in between that, you had to put it with like Rihanna talking shit. You had like, here we go, we're going to hit him in the middle. They actually reenacted what you do in the board game on a video screen. And I'm like, I could be playing a board game right now.
I mean, it's one thing to turn a board game and Clue into a movie. At least that's entertaining. This has no characters in the board game. You just got pegs and ships. There are no people. How do you do it?
I mean, how is Liam Neeson only in the movie 20 minutes? You know, I mean, I would rather watch Taken 2 again, and, you know, Taken 2 wasn't a greatest sequel.
Taken 2 wasn't awesome, but it wasn't
Battleship. It wasn't Battleship. It didn't have... He should have shown up and just smacked Rihanna and be like, now I know why Chris Brown did it, or something.
Old Sean Connery shows up, I'm the fucking stupid bitch.
This is how you...
It's my ship, you kill this fucking bastard.
He named the Battleship Indiana.
But, okay, it was just
now we got my worst picks out of the way. Gentlemen, I'd love to hear yours.
Okay, I will give you my worst. And I say that this movie, in my opinion, was worse than Battleship.
Oh, here we go. What is it?
Okay, first of all, I like Jeremy Renner. I like Rachel Weisz. And I like Edward Norton.
You're talking about Bourne Legacy, aren't you?
I am talking about no movie bored the shit out of me this year than the Bourne Legacy. The plot had no idea what it was trying to convey. The action sequences seemed rushed. I feel like I stared at my watch more, rather the clock on my iPhone more, than I did the whole time I was watching this movie. It was just boring.
It was terrible. It was terrible. You missed Matt Damon. I mean, you know,
he's been assigned to it.
He went to a fucking zoo, but he can't save the Bourne Legacy. Thanks, Matt. No, I'm telling you, I was watching this movie. I think the best part was when the government accidentally shot a wolf with a missile. That was the best part.
Yeah, that was the only part that made me go, "Oh, that was interesting." Back to looking at my clock.
Seriously, Ed Norton's just in the movie. He's trying to be like, he's like, I'm a government type. We have to kill them. We have to kill them. Oh shit, he's alive. We have to kill them again.
You know the reason why that Jeremy Renner and Edward Norton weren't on the screen at the same time is because Jeremy Renner would totally have ripped Edward Norton for not being in the Avengers.
See, I know shit, right?
It's like, hey man, you should have hung out with us.
You wanted rewrites on this script? Fuck you, Edward Norton. You know,
not now. I'm making the Italian Job too. Leave me alone.
Didn't he die in the first Italian Job movie?
Oh, he got held up by Russian. I was just kidding. Who knows if he'll be back? He's too stuck up anyway. I mean, but hey, didn't Mark Ruffalo rocket in his place? Well, we'll get to that in the back.
No, we'll get to that in a second.
But Bourne Legacy was a fucking mistake.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the movie that I gave the lowest grade to this year for our movie reviews. Terrible.
It was terrible.
Okay, for my worst movie of the year, now Total Recall was a definite contender. It was down to Total Recall and this movie. Now, this movie isn't necessarily a horrible movie. It was just a horrible reason for a movie and a horrible memory. It's like pissing on someone's grave. It's like pissing on 1,000 people's grave. That is Titanic 3D. Give me a fucking break. How can we celebrate the deaths of all those fucking people by let's get 3D glasses and go jerk off James Cameron's cock some more? Fuck Titanic 3D.
I think the only reason I went to go see it is to see Kate Winslet's breasts looking
in
out.
In 3D. No, yes. But
her nipples pointy in 3D? Could it look like it's
going to
poke your eyes out?
Get Leo off there. Just a whole 2 hours of Kate Winslet naked. There you go. Merry Christmas.
I love the movie. I cry. I yell at the bitch. Don't leave Leonardo DiCaprio in the water. Get him in there. I yell like everybody else. But I just think it's horribly friggin', and I went to go see it too. But it's horribly insensitive.
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you what, I thought for a minute there you were going to say Chernobyl Diaries. People died in Chernobyl. They're not doing going back there and dying. Oh, see, they wanted to join the club. All right.
Now, you say the word Titanic now. What do people think of? They think of Celine Dion singing.
Oh,
you know?
God, don't. Please, no.
And then seagulls die somewhere. Every time Celine Dion sings, seagulls die.
A band plays out as the ship sinks.
I just thought it was horribly insensitive to put that movie in 3D because sometimes we forget, even though it is a really good movie, we forget the fact that it's it's celebrating that people died.
Just wait for Schindler's List 3D. You'll feel better.
I will. Oh, it will be better. And I wouldn't doubt that Schindler's List 3D will come out with boxed with the reissue of Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Oh, don't even bring up that tinky. You know what? The Bourne Legacy gets the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull Award this year. Just it, yeah. It was a fourth world that wasn't needed.
Yeah, it was the quadrilogy that shouldn't have been.
I know. That's sort of like Ice Age Continental Drift. That movie sucked, too.
I was stuck in an airplane watching that.
Poor thing. You should have jumped out.
Oh, it was awful. They didn't have any parachutes. I thought about it, though.
You know, you're telling me you're going to put Nicki Minaj in a movie and it's actually going to be valid. Yeah, whatever, dicks. Thanks. It was just terrible, running by the numbers and everything. Like, I think the best part was like,
you will get
English is a pirate. That's it. Terrible.
Just bad. Just terrible.
The so monkey those are the pirate. Yep. The monkey pirate, yeah. Took shit all over this movie.
Okay.
Let me throw my feces
out. I don't want to kill myself, so let's get to the best, please.
Okay, let's get to the best movie of 2012. And let's have Ish's guy go first for this.
Okay, this was really tough. I thought about picking there's a few movies that really, you know, held strong. One I actually saw a couple days ago that really almost got it for me because of my love for little people. I just want to play with hobbits but that's a different story altogether. I had a good time at The Hobbit. But my
Sorry, not to interrupt, but I was just going to say The Hobbit's number one, too long. And number two, the whole 48 frames per second thing.
I didn't see it in that. I made sure
okay.
I did.
You know what? I actually liked it. It made it seem like some of the CGI was more realistic.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Issues Guy.
Oh, no. But I agree with you that it ran too long. But I'm basing my love for it solely on the 15 minutes or however long we got when the whole situation with Gollum and the riddle and that whole area. That alone was worth the whole time. I was going to pick, you know, The Dark Knight Rises. I love that movie. But someone recently said something about it being exactly like Rocky III, and I can't get that out of my head now. But that's a different story altogether. So I'm not going to go necessarily what I think the best movie I saw the year. If I go best, it might have been The Master with Joaquin Phoenix and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I heard good things about that.
That was a really great movie that I saw, deep and dark. But really, the movie I had the most fun watching has to be The Avengers. I just love how they separated all the sections. Like, you felt like you were in each franchise in different parts of that movie. And then I think it came together great. It's so amazing that they actually pulled that off with only maybe one half a turd of movie. I didn't love Iron Man 2, but that was just because. But I like it more now that I've seen The Avengers, just because I didn't get enough of Scarlett Johansson's character's backstory, which we ended up getting just in that opening scene with her in the beginning of Avengers. To me, it overtook X-Men 2 and Spider-Man 2 as my favorite non-Batman superhero movie, and my movie of the year is Avengers.
Okay.
All right. DCD. Well, why don't you go ahead and then I'll rattle off my top.
Okay. So I've been a huge fan of Wes Anderson for many years, and I've always liked his like quirky films
Life of
the Royal Tenenbaums, The Rushmore, The Life Aquatic.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I felt like he really, really hit his stride this year and made probably one of the best ensemble films, Moonrise Kingdom.
Mm-hmm, that was real. See, now in that, Edward Norton is respectable.
Yes.
He didn't, like, go off the deep end or whatever.
The thing about Edward Norton is somewhere he started smelling his own farts. I think it was somewhere after.
I should have been Hulk. I could have been Hulk. Damn it.
He started thinking too much about it. And even with Hulk, I read a lot of inside information that he demands rewrites on all the scripts he works on now. And that was a big reason, you know, he didn't have enough control in the Avengers. So he kind of vagined out a little bit. And I think that affects his performance in a lot of things, because he used to put his whole body, his soul into a fucking performance. Him in his early roles, like in Primal Fear and
Fight Club,
and even a movie he did right after with Ben Stiller when he plays like this priest. I forget Keeping the Faith or something.
Keeping the Faith, that was a good movie.
It was a funny movie for what it was, a romantic comedy. But somewhere along the way, he really like he starts mailing it in a little bit. But when he tries, he is a good actor.
And this is a movie that he really tried in, and not to mention Bruce Willis. I think this is one of Bruce Willis' best roles in years.
You know what? If it wasn't for Looper, I'd say it was his film of the year, because Looper was fantastic too.
Looper was a great movie too.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I felt that there was a lot more heart in the performance that Bruce Willis was doing in Moonrise Kingdom, especially when he's trying to bond with this kid who's been practically abandoned by, you know, sadly by his parents who passed away, but then abandoned by his own family and the scouts, and just He was practically on his lonesome. And then there's Bruce Willis that comes practically to his aid and realizes that this kid is messed up because these people just don't really care about him. And he starts relating to him. And then he also gets to, well, not Bruce Willis, but the kid, starts having this relationship with this girl. They run away and they try to make something of it. And it was one of those rare movies this year that just made me smile from start to finish.
Yeah, it was a charming little movie. I think it was one of his more accessible movies. Plus, any movie you put Bill Murray in, and he's just Bill Murray, is just awesome beyond belief.
Exactly.
I'm going to go chop down a tree.
That's why Life Aquatic's my favorite, all in all, Wes Anderson movie, because that you get so much Bill Murray in that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, I actually like Fantastic Mr. Fox, but that's a great one too. Yeah.
I think that was one of the better animated films of the last decade, and I was sad that not a lot of people went and saw it because it's claymation, it's not CGI.
Well, it's fun though.
I know.
I'm running a little short on time, so let me just rattle off my three favorites this year. I got three particular favorites for three particular reasons. Not to just cut you off, sorry. By the
it's
way,
it's okay. Though. No okay. worries.
So my number three film of the year is Silver Linings Playbook, which is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
It's got Bradley Cooper in it. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence is packing an ass. I mean, God damn.
and just to butt in, Bradley Cooper, the last couple of years, has really turned into one of the greatest actors working out there.
Limitless. I mean, that movie
Limitless. Yeah, that was my movie
around.
Of that was my favorite movie.
Hangovers, we're good. But he's a great actor in this movie. Jennifer Lawrence nails it out of the park. Robert De Niro. I mean, he's been in a few shitty movies as lately, but this one was really good. He was just really neurotic, and not in a comedic way either. It's just like it fit his character almost perfectly. And guess who else is in this? Chris Tucker.
He hasn't been.
He's actually good in this too.
You know, just got knocked the fuck out.
I know. David O. Russell just nailed this one. I mean, it's a typical take on a romantic comedy, but it's so neurotic and so over the top. I was laughing. I thought it was great. So that's my third favorite. My second favorite, Cabin in the Woods, one of the best horror movies I've seen in some time. I mean, because it turns the whole genre. I mean, fuck this Chernobyl Diaries and Chainsaw 3D shit. I mean, give me a good movie that turns the whole genre on its head. It explains what's going on with these kids in the cabin and everything like that and everything behind the scenes.
And in reality, it's a truly funny movie.
Hilarious and it's scary at the same time. And I love the ending. I'm not going to spoil it, but I love the ending. It was just awesome all around. And I especially liked the fact that Chris Hemsworth died midway through. Thank you. That I will spoil because that's actually a highlight.
Yeah.
And number one, Avengers. Joss Whedon nailing it out of the park. This is one of the best superhero movies ever made. I love this movie. I mean, I keep watching it. And Robert Downey Jr., obviously, bringing it home as Iron Man, setting up Iron Man 3 to come out next year in style. Great action sequel, like 45 minutes. We had some great action stuff, and everything that we wanted to happen, happened. You know, they brought down one of those flying beasts.
You got a Hulk battle.
What I loved about the Avengers is that every person in that film had a shining moment.
Yep.
They really did. And it was absolutely, even like Stan Lee popped up in a great cameo.
Yes.
And the actor that plays Loki, I'm blanking on his name right now. He just ate it up. He ate scenery in all the best possible ways. He had so much fun in the role.
Tom Hiddleston.
For some reason, every time I look at him, I just think of the bulky character from Perfect Strangers.
Okay. I've come to think of
documents.
Well, don't be ridiculous, Uncle Larry. Cousin Larry.
Don't be ridiculous, Brother Four.
I'm thrilled that Thanos will be in the second one. That's going to be awesome.
Yes.
And the one thing I didn't add, that finally we got a good Hulk. Since the Lou Ferrigno Hulk, we finally got a good, a perfect representation of the Hulk in this movie. I loved it.
Precisely. Buffalo.
He was absolutely awesome in this role.
Puny God.
Okay, so I know, DCD, you got to run out of here, but so Issues Guy and I will, I guess we'll continue on with the show without you, sadly.
I will be back for next week's episode, I promise.
Okay,
sounds good. We'll talk games galore, but I appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, no problem.
I know I'm rushing off, and I apologize, but I will make it up to you guys next week.
Okay, sounds good.
And I will not be shitting on anyone. Sorry.
Well, maybe there's the worst game of the year, so you can shit on that.
I'll bring back the pirate monkey to shit on that.
Okay.
See you guys later.
All right, see ya. Okay. So now that, sadly, DCD has just left, it'll just be Isha's guy and I. Is that cool?
Yo, absolutely.
Okay, so why don't we go deeper into the films? What was a film that came out this year that you wished more people had saw?
Okay. Now this right here is where I cheated a little bit on the test I was taking last night. That is the questions for the show. Now, because my best animated film is... I have two that are animated films, and one I went to... I'm cheating a subject that we're going to get to later, but best animated. But the film I wish more people saw is a one-hour TV movie pilot for the new Ninja Turtles series. Yeah, I'm cheating. I don't care. I'm cheating. The new Ninja Turtles series, which seems like a movie in the hour form, the way it's structured.
Now, was this animated or live action?
It's animated, but it's done in a CG fashion. And what really taught me by watching this is I don't necessarily need to love the medium of the animation that I'm watching if the writing is top-notch. I don't particularly like CG style animation. In fact, on the show itself, they have the turtles watch a Star Trek series, which is in regular animation.
Yep.
And I enjoy the regular animation a lot more than the CG. But the hour pilot it's truly the best turtle adaptation since the very first seasons of the 2K series. Coming from a place of so much love for turtle history and creating a very unique story, they made decisions with the Krang. They include the Krang. They include a lot of throwbacks to the old movies and add a few new spins to turtle mythology that I've never seen before. The first episode is like a movie. It's like a TV movie that brings you into this world. And soon your eyes become used to what you're watching, and you're realizing that this is some of the best writing and voice casting that's ever been done on a cartoon series in my life that I've ever seen. And I looked a little bit more into it, and it makes sense. The casting director that works with the show, I don't have her name up, so I'm not going to give her credit, but she is the same person that did the voice casting for the DC Animated Universe movies and the old Batman animated series.
Oh. So,
it's the same person working on voice casting, so they really understand it. You have Jason Biggs playing Leonardo. Mm-hmm. You have Sean Austin, or TV's Rudy, or Sam playing Raphael. You have the person who voiced the voice of Raphael in the original series doing the voice of Donatello, and you have some really funny surfer dude guy doing the voice of Michelangelo. And the most important thing is, I can say, Michelangelo has gone through an interesting run. In the old 80s series, he was my favorite turtle.
Well, then he was the one that kids can relate to. He was the goofball.
Absolutely, the goofball. But then as I grew older and I got more into Turtles comics in the 2K series, he became kind of my least favorite turtle. I liked Donatello. I liked Raphael. I liked the brooding. I liked the intelligent one. And I liked Casey Jones.
Yes.
And then Turtles Forever came out, which was all right. Like, in retrospect, watching it now, they really didn't do enough justice to the old Turtles. But it was a great idea, because the old Turtles weren't as stupid as they got portrayed in that movie. And that's what this series does, too. It can show you that the Turtles can be funny without being stupid. It really combines drama perfectly. But what I was going to say is, Michelangelo's, again, now my favorite turtle. He's the funniest turtle on the show. He's hilarious. And all the turtles just have perfect balance. And I highly recommend to anyone that hasn't seen it, because right now I only know of two or three of my friends that watch the series, and most of them, we all got ourselves into it. So I highly suggest anyone that has a love for turtles, new and old, please check out the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series on Nickelodeon. Yeah, that's right, Nickelodeon.
And that's the thing I've been noticing these past couple of years is how more people our age are starting to watch kids' cartoons. And the reason why I think that is because it's now our generation that is making the cartoons, and they're making the shows that they wanted to see when they were kids.
Absolutely. Or recreating the shows that weren't very successful at the time they were on, like the old Batman series. It ran for a while, but eventually it lost steam because it had more of an adult audience, and so they didn't think it was profitable to keep it on. So they got rid of shows like that, and you got shows like The Batman, yeah, or all those awful Spider-Man inclinations you had.
I did like the one on MTV with Ted Neil Patrick Harris.
Was it Unlimited or something like that?
No, it was just Spider-Man. It only ran for like 6 episodes. And they actually had Michael Clark Duncan as what's his name? Kingpin.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, from Daredevil. Yeah.
Oh, it looks like DCD's going to be able to rejoin us because his other podcast has been delayed an hour.
That's awesome.
Yes, let's have him come back in. Are you back, DCD?
I am. Apparently, the call girl isn't coming over until an hour later. So.
Oh! Well, this worked out in our favor. Yay!
It did, yeah. It's a good thing I opened this
beer. We're touching on, right now, the film more people should have saw in 2012. Issues Guy just mentioned...
Yes, I mentioned the Nickelodeon hour premiere of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series, the new Ninja Turtles. I've cheated. I'm using television. I don't care. More people need to watch the new Ninja Turtles series because it's smart. It's smart writing, awesome voice acting, and the best turtle series. Might be my favorite turtle series ever.
Okay, you know what? I've got two movies that I can easily lay down for this one. And I'm going to cheat too because one of them wasn't made this year, but it was released this year.
Fair enough.
Yes. You ever hear of a movie called Miami Connection?
Yes,
I have. It was a really awful 80s movie featuring Taekwondo guys in a rock band battling ninjas. And you got to hear the soundtrack. I mean, we're talking like a really cheesy rock. We are friends and loyalty, honesty. And I got to just share the MP3 with you guys. It's really – that's one movie I think – No, that is a movie I think everybody just seen this year merely for drinking purposes. And then
came out of it.
And then the second movie, I don't know if you guys ever heard of this. It's a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed.
I've heard about this.
Starring Aubrey Plaza and Mark Duplass, I think it is. It's about a guy. Well, there's an ad. And the guy says, I'm going to go travel back in time because I need to change something. I need someone to come with me. Safety Not Guaranteed, that sort of thing. So a newspaper editor takes two of his interns with him to investigate the guy. And she's one of the interns. And she ends up being like – recruited by him, and it slowly evolves into like a cool little love story, and it's actually a really good little indie film. I really got a kick out of it.
Yeah,
so I recommend that for sure.
Okay, one movie that I thought a lot more people were going to see, just for the cast alone, was Seven Psychopaths.
Which, that movie was fun. Oh, yeah,
that movie was so great. The whole little hidden joke that Marty is basically the writer-director of Martin McDonagh, and it's just Colin Farrell playing him.
I know, not playing, like, Douglas Quaid.
Yes. But you got Christopher Walken and another great actor who had one of the best roles of this year. And you had Woody Harrelson, and you have Sam Rockwell, who is, like, 10 degrees past batshit crazy in this film.
I love that.
And this is another... I feel like this is a role that Sam Rockwell has done to a T, and I feel like more people should have talked about it. Not just because of how funny it was, but just how kind of sad of a person he really was, just trying to make something better of his life, but just kept fucking shit up. I mean, just from stealing dogs with Christopher Walken's character to putting on that crazy ad for... Oh, it looks like we have another person coming into the show right now.
Nice. Bring him in.
All right. Let me...
Maybe he'll mention Argo, because we forgot to talk about Argo just yet.
Okay. Let's see. Russ, are you there?
I am.
Oh, excellent.
Welcome.
So, okay.
Thank you.
So, shall we go backwards a little bit, guys, so he can talk about his worst and best?
Yeah. We can. Maybe he'll mention, maybe Battleship again.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, God, that movie.
Here we go. All right, so We have Russ from Digital Noob joining us. Welcome.
Thank you.
What's up?
What was your worst movie for 2012?
Battleship was up there, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. That movie was really bad. I don't know, there have been a lot of good movies this year, so there really haven't been that many that at least I went to see that were really bad.
Okay.
Which is thankfully good. So, but yeah, Battleship was one of the worst. That movie was terrible.
Okay, so what about your best of the year then?
That's actually really tough because there were some really good films this year. Argo was spectacular.
Yeah.
Yay. Yep. Someone mentioned Argo.
I do love Argo. It's a great movie.
I really loved Argo.
How amazing has Ben Affleck's career been in the way that to go from someone you kind of liked when he was doing bit parts as being a dick in stoner movies or things like, or, you know, bit parts in Kevin Smith movies to his acting career, which was all right at times and then completely ridiculous eventually, to becoming one of the best directors in the fucking world. Like,
yep.
If you had told me that 10 years ago, right when Geely was coming out, I would have just punched you in the face.
Yeah, if I told you Ben Affleck was going to direct some of the best movies that you've seen in the last couple of years, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if somebody would have told me the guy who completely destroyed Daredevil as a character was going to be that amazing, I probably would have screamed at you and or hit you.
How do you go from beating up Mallrats to being an Oscar-winning director? Question. Yeah. Or Oscar-nominated, rather. Sorry.
Well, no, he did win an Oscar for Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, that was writing, though. He didn't direct.
Yeah,
true.
But he will probably win something for Argo, because it was great.
He should.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have been a lot worse. He could have directed Alex Cross or...
Tat Medea's Alex Cross.
Yeah, I know. I was almost expecting Medea to be like, oh, shit, I cross-dressed and turned into a man, and now I'm hunting down Matthew Fox from Lost. God, I sound just like her. That's fucked up. I'm gonna drink. I'm gonna drink right now.
Okay, so now we're on the we're now on the topic of the film you wish more people saw in 2012. Issues guy went with the Ninja Turtles 1-hour TV pilot. DCD went with
My Connection and Safety Not Guaranteed. Although I will also give a nod to Iron Sky. That was a fun
movie. Yeah, that was a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. Safety Not Guaranteed was wonderful.
Yeah.
I did really like it. They say Not Guaranteed.
And I chose a Seven Psychopaths. So what's a movie that you choose, Russ, for?
I'm actually going to go with the horror movie that actually came out about a month ago called The Collection.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's got the highest body count in one scene that I've ever seen in a movie in the history of my watching horror movies.
This includes Ghost Ship, right? Because you remember the intro. To-
yeah. I can't remember Ghost Ship that much, but it took... Do you mind if I do a quick spoiler alert?
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, they showed it in the trailer. You remember that spinning blade that goes above the dance club?
Yep.
That shreds through everybody except for one girl that he captures. But everybody else...
Like 3,000 kids who get taken out at the same time. It's crazy.
Wow.
Well, everybody just went silent to be like, oh, yeah, this club is closed.
How does this work? Does the whole stage drop on them and they fall into a pit of spikes or what?
No, it's it's like a wheat thresher blade that he just drops from the ceiling and it just starts cutting everybody down.
Ouch.
And the one that don't get cut, they get killed by like debris and shit.
Yeah.
Or they get crushed by like a
sheer shock of horror.
Falling like spikes.
Yeah, they shit themselves from fear. Jesus.
Yeah,
yeah. That movie.
Man, really, okay, I'm leaving. Don't be the bouncer, Jesus. I'm leaving. God, I'm sorry. The music sucks anyway. You keep playing Gangnam Style. I'm leaving.
Okay, so while we go into best animated film and Issues Guy, is your pick the same as your?
No, no, it isn't. This is why I decided to go for best animated film. I'm going to pick The Dark Knight Returns. Bruce Timm's.
Version of it that I
finally saw a couple weeks ago, and I fucking loved it. I love how they combine the animation style from the original graphic novel with a little bit of a modern anime feel, but not, you know, didn't go all the way there. They just used that. I I was afraid how they were going to mix in the news, you know, all the news blurbs, but I loved the editing, the pacing of it. The voice acting, Batman was done by RoboCop, which just threw me off a little bit at times because
luck, because isn't RoboCop turning into the Dark Knight in that big screen movie?
Exactly. Yeah,
technically,
yeah.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
But no, but by the But by the end of it all, I kind of felt it in the theme of the movie where Batman's very mechanical in his movements and needs to be because of his, you know, his age in some of the fights. I really loved it. I got into it. It was horrifying. It set up the next movie. I'm a little upset that they split it into two movies. I would have rather one big long movie of the whole thing. But
yeah, that's a bit of a cop out.
Yeah, it is. But to me, that was overall the best animated movie I saw this year. I loved it. It because I built up so much hype because I've always been a fan of the original animated series and then and how it got changed. You know, even the Superman series and the Justice League. I mean, I watch them all. I watch every single DC animated movie. And when I heard they were doing Year One and then eventually going to do this, I built up a lot of hype for it. And it satisfied me. And it's one of the few comic books I know really, really well. And I knew they were going to change some things. But nothing upset me, and in some cases, I think they changed things for the better. I wasn't as annoyed by Robin as I was in my original reading of the book. But so it's a good watch. If anyone hasn't seen it, check it out. My favorite animated movie of the year.
Okay. How about you, Russ?
I actually haven't watched a whole lot of them. I'm actually trying to double check. There's a couple of the like the Marvel kind of animated films that were on Netflix. I just don't know whether or not they're 2012. But the new I think 2012 had the new Doctor Strange animated film, which was actually really good. I actually have to double check that right now. Yeah, I don't know if it was 2012 or not.
Let's see if someone can do a little quick Google search on that one.
I'm in the middle of doing that right now.
Netflix just added a couple more DC animated movies as well that I can't wait to check out. I haven't seen. There's a new Justice League movie that came out this year, too, that just got added to Netflix, I think, like today.
Oh, no, that movie's actually. The Doctor Strange film is actually quite old.
Oh, never mind.
All right. Well, how about. Because my pick has to be a movie that did a great job with writing a love letter to gamers everywhere, Wreck-It Ralph.
Yep.
That was amazing.
The story was great. I loved how, you know, there was the bad guy wanting the shining moment in his life, the gaming glitch, he wanted to be a winner, the sergeant, who was programmed with the most tragic backstory, wanting to find some happiness. A fantastic cast from like John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman, Jack McBrayer, Jane Lynch, and I just like how they just built everything together and how they went from like the old style of the 8-bit to the new style of HD graphics. And I wasn't disappointed at all with this movie. Like there wasn't anything I could have said, they could have done this part better. I felt that this was just about perfect from start to finish.
I can agree with that. That movie was just wonderful on every aspect.
Yeah, it's impossible not to watch that movie with a big smile on your face if you're at all games have touched you in your life. It's amazing. Even all the little cameos in the back, you know, the background characters and stuff like that.
I loved how they got the original gaming voice actors to take part in this movie, and they just didn't hire some. They didn't hire Nicolas Cage to do the voice of Sonic for a second.
I'm fast. Watch me run through blast processing. Tails, get off my ass. I'm trying to run through Emerald Hill. You suck.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for mine, since you already named Wreck-It Ralph, I'm going to go to... I got two picks. I'm going to go with Paranorman, which was another great stop-motion animated movie from the guys who did Coraline, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to give a nod to Rise of the Guardians. I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be. Because,
really?
You know, when you looked at the trailer and everything like that, you looked at the trailer being like, oh, this is going to be gimmicky and everything like that. But you see the movie, and it's actually a great adventure movie. And it's actually perfectly voiced, too. You got Alec Baldwin playing this deep Russian. Hello, I am the Russian Santa Claus. You know, something like that. You got Hugh Jackman playing a badass bunny rat or kangaroos or bunny. He's a bunny. What am I talking about? Kangaroo.
That was the joke in the movie.
I know that I'm a bunny, mate. And, you know, Chris Pine's in it. They did a great job. It was a lot of fun, especially in 3D. So since you already said Wreck-It Ralph, that would be my top choice. But for the following two, A Devil Is a Paranorman and Rise of the Guardians. And I'll go ahead and also give a nod to Madagascar 3 because I thought that was better than the first two Madagascars. Wow. I did. The first two Madagascars were just eh. Third one was actually hilarious.
You just liked the circus afro, didn't you?
Circus afro.
I'm still surprised I don't have that as a ringtone on my phone yet.
I know, you might as well, you know.
All right. Russ, have you figured out a choice yet, or did you want to go with
one of not people's? Really. I would probably have to go with Wreck-It Ralph, because, I mean, I have to be completely rude. That movie was just, like, perfect in just about every way.
Okay.
From a gamer standpoint, it's just terrific.
Yeah, it's just it's a love letter to us.
Yeah, basically. So let's go into the best guilty pleasure movie of 2012. Let's start with you, Issues Guy, on this one.
Okay, my best guilty pleasure, since I can't admit to all the horrible television I watch, like Survivor or the new 90210, I will say that my guilty pleasure movie was probably Chimpanzee. It came out, it's a nature documentary about a chimpanzee, and it's voiced by Tim Allen. And Home Improvement.
One monkey.
Yeah.
That's
too
will
much.
Will he survive?
It's too much cuteness in one place at one time. I found myself the whole time, oh, I was watching it with my little cousin. It's like, oh, and then I went back and watched it again and again. And whenever I'm sick, I turn it on and it makes me smile. So, yeah, chimpanzee.
And then the little monkey goes, stronger, more power.
Bigfoot Tools presents the Tree Cutter 4000.
More power! Hardwired it! Hardwired that monkey, and that monkey motherfucker runs now.
So yeah, chimpanzee, if you want to go aw a lot, check it out.
Okay. Alright, my pick has to be Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you took mine.
Yeah, well, okay, you. It's not that I took yours, we just have common interests when it comes to guilty pleasures.
That's fair enough.
Because what I loved about this movie is it treated this silly concept as fact. It wasn't like tongue-in-cheek, oh, look at me, I'm Abraham Lincoln, I'm going to kill some vampires. There wasn't any, like, winks to the camera or anything.
Sorens, I've been kicking her ass.
This movie was treated with respect to Abraham Lincoln. Like, I want to see someone take this movie and splice it up with the Spielberg Lincoln movie, and it would just flow perfectly together. And you would just take it all as fact.
You know someone's doing that right now. I hope
someone is. Probably.
Man, Daniel Day-Lewis looks like shit in this scene.
That movie was like the best B movie I've ever seen. It was the most. It was like a high budget B movie that was so completely ridiculous that you had to love it. But I do have another guilty pleasure movie.
Okay.
And it's The Man with the Iron Fist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. I love that movie.
Yeah, that was fucking amazing.
All right. I liked that movie, but I was kind of expecting a little bit more. But I am hoping that RZA is going to be able to release like the whole 3-hour cut of it.
That movie was so horribly bad. It was like a train wreck that you can't help but watch and enjoy, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like everything about it was so horrible that it flowed together and made something awesome.
Yeah. That's a good description of it. Mm-hmm. All right. How about you, DCD?
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to come back to Miami Connection. The movie's like so bad, it's good. I mean, seriously, they stop at one moment so like the black member of the group can cry. You know, my mom was just never, you know, it's just so awful. It was just hilarious. I mean, not because he was black, but because it was funny as hell that he would do that in the middle of like a big kung fu action movie where characters are getting beheaded and everything like that. So I would say that's a guilty pleasure. And as much as I hate to admit it, well, no, I'm not going to hate to admit it. I thought Dark Shadows was pretty good for what it was.
I like Dark Shadows, but I don't like how they ended it. It felt too abrupt.
That was stupid. But I mean, just the fact that they had the nature of the 70s. I mean, like he saw, what was it, one of the carpenters on the screen, out foul beast, and unplugs the TV. That's just amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, and I got Alice
Cooper hasn't aged in like 40 years.
He really hasn't. It's amazing. I know. I'm going to name two more, though. I will, because I'd love these as guilty pleasure action movies. Dredd beats the living shit out of the Stallone Judge Dredd movie. That movie was rocking. I love that. And for some strange reason, I liked Lockout. That was the one with Guy Pearce and on the space station. It was okay. I mean, you know, it wasn't – it's not going to be Die Hard to death or anything like that, but it was okay for what it was. And you know what? Coming back to movies that I wish more people had seen, The Raid Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a guilty pleasure, too. Because there's this guy fighting two guys in a locker. He's a little shit, but he's throwing them around and just like like nothing, like they're rag dolls. And it's ridiculously awesome. So I guess it qualifies as a sleeper hit, too. So there you go.
Okay, cool.
Or guilty pleasure.
All right. So why don't we move on to what's happening next year? What's the movie that you want people to watch out for in 2013? And let's start with you, Russ.
I really just the wave two of the Marvel films, being the comic book nerd that I am, that I can't wait to see any or all of them, especially Galaxy or Guardians of the Galaxy, because it looks like it's going to be interesting. They don't really do like cosmic space stuff very often, and plus their director is a complete douchebag.
Okay. For my pick, I've got to go with Pacific Rim.
Ooh, that's going to be good too.
Also known as Voltron, the movie. Awesome.
Or the live-action Evangelion we've been craving for. And the fact is, GLaDOS is in this movie. Fucking GLaDOS. It's her.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be her.
GLaDOS Knight? GLaDOS Knight and the Pips? I know who you're talking about.
Beast back, baby.
They're gonna reveal something at the end of this film. There's gonna be someone that walks in from Aperture Science, I bet ya.
What the hell's going on? I hear your explosive lemons, bitch.
Oh my god, that would be great if he did show up in that. If Cave Johnson just shows up at the end. Boom. And then Del Toro goes, oh yeah, the next movie we're gonna do is a live action Portal.
Okay. That would be really fun.
Directing. Hell yes.
Okay. All right, Ish's guy.
There's so many good movies coming out next year. I mean, I'm pumped for obviously Iron Man 3, and Star Trek comes out on my birthday, so I'm excited for that. But the movie I'm most excited to see next year is The Wolverine, because of Darren Aronofsky working on it early and a lot of hype surrounding the project. I mean, he left because of tragedies that happened over there and stuff. One of my fantasies was always to have Aronofsky direct a superhero movie. I've heard him talking about it. I've heard his passion for doing something like this and his passion for this project initially. So I'm hoping some of the remnants of that holds on, and they have to make up for the disappointment that was, the first Wolverine movie. I don't know. I think this is a movie that people aren't remembering is coming out, and I think can hopefully surprise a lot of people and be a really good movie. So,
okay, DCD.
Oh, totally a haunted house.
Scary Movie 6.
Scary Movie 5. I saw the trailer for Scary Movie 5, and they showed almost the entire Lindsay Lohan Charlie Sheen movie. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I don't want to see it now.
No, I don't want to see it.
You know what? I'm excited for Star Trek. I'm excited for the new Iron Man. That's going to be great. Not sure about how I feel about the new Lone Ranger. I don't know about that. But I'll tell you this. If any movie can reaffirm my strength in Superman, it's got to be Man of Steel. That looks pretty goddamn awesome. I mean, more awesome
than Smurfs. That trailer was just amazing. More
awesome than Smurfs 2, anyway.
Good
transition. Perfect transition.
To movie to avoid in 2013. Listen, when Neil Smurfs Patrick 2. Harris can't even save your movie, that's a sign that says maybe we shouldn't do this again.
I love the fucking Smurfs. I can't believe they're doing another one of these piece of shit movies.
Smurfs!
I hope at least they keep the whole movie in Smurfland. I think if they had kept
first
movie in Smurfland, we might have had a good movie. Give me an hour-long movie or an hour and a half of a Smurf adventure. Bring in Johan and Pee-wee. Bring in Neil Patrick Harris. When I first heard Neil Patrick Harris was cast, I was convinced they were casting him as Johan. But no. fucking we get some bullshit. No, 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 no.
You know what? While we're at it, let's go ahead and flush Pain and Gain while we're at it. The latest Michael Bay film. Mark Wahlberg being a bodybuilder and The Rock being there. Just, yeah, that spells disaster.
I don't even know what it's about, but I just look at the poster and I'm like, really?
There's a trailer online and it's pretty bad.
Okay.
Oh, and not to mention the fact that M. Night Shyamalan's going to shit all over After Earth.
Oh,
my God, he's working again.
Oh, no.
He's going to have a twist at the end. Everybody's dead. Okay, that's it. That's the movie. Thank you.
Yeah, that's going to be bad.
Yeah, I'll tell you. One sleeper movie I think that actually will be good. Did you guys see the trailer yet for Now You See Me? It's this kind of like caper movie about a group of magicians who work in Vegas who are actually trying to pull off some capers and stuff. It's got like Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg.
That looked really good.
Woody Harrelson really had a renaissance of his career and some of the bit parts he's been playing again. I'm psyched to see him back. Cause,
wasn't he in Seven Psychopaths too?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, how about you, Russ? What's the movie you say people should just run away from?
They should probably run. I just had this. Anything Smurfs, they should definitely just get away from any of that stuff. Actually, I kind of want to say this for have people run away from the Wolverine just because I'm kind of cautious, or even Days of Future Past, which hopefully I think is coming out next year, or it might be 2014.
No, it's 2014.
2014.
Oh, that one's 2014? Okay.
It'll be good, though.
I was so convinced that if the Wolverine's just a sequel to Origins, then I can't have any faith in it because of how bad Origins.
I'm hoping, and I hear what you're saying. Because if it's a sequel to Origins, I'm with you. It's going to be a piece of turd shit.
Yeah.
But what I've heard is that it's more of a specific take on Wolverine's arc in Japan, and it's going to be very specific to that, and not have a lot of ties back into Origin. I could be wrong. Yeah. But
it's got different director. It's got a different director. It's got different screenwriters, and it looks like it's going for a lot more serious approach. I'll tell you what would sell it though: R rating. You know, it probably won't happen. Yes. But if they get an R rating,
we do need like a good R rated.
We need look at like the X-Men Origins Wolverine video game, rated M for mature, and it kicked ass.
Yeah, yep.
It was fun as hell.
Yeah.
Rewarding, ripping people in fucking half.
When
of a helicopter and beheading him with his own helicopter blade.
You know, when Arkham City was going to come out, I was actually thinking that was going to be an M-rated game because of all the stuff that was going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was shocked when it got the T rating. But yeah, if they can make the Wolverine into a not a full-fledged R-rated movie, but R to the point where it's a good R-rating, I think it could be a way of Marvel for saying, we're sorry about X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, sorry.
The way for them to apologize for X-Men Origins Wolverine is to make the goddamn Deadpool movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
A good Deadpool movie, yeah. And forget that ever happened. That was a dream.
That was a nightmare, you mean.
A nightmare, yeah. It was a nightmare. It's sad. So my movie to avoid in 2013, and I hate to say this because I don't know if King Baby Duck knows some people too, but I know some people that are in this movie in bit parts because it was filmed around here. But I'm pretty much going to guarantee that Grown Ups 2 is a big pile of horse shit.
Oh, well, you know what? It's not exactly like Adam Sandler's been on a streak. Did anybody even think about seeing That's My Boy?
Unfortunately, I like That's My Boy, but I think That's My Boy is more of a... I think only people who lived in that area would get that movie. As weird as that sounds. If people who live in the North Shore area... And where they filmed that movie, I feel like the humor was more akin to those people, mm-hmm. to my people specifically.
And I hear you, but I met a bunch of the people that they were filming around here. They were filming like right in my backyard and right across the street. Met a lot. They were really cool, really nice people. But that movie is gonna fucking suck. It's gonna be bad.
Even a plot to the first one.
Yeah, why are they making another movie? Because so they could all vacation on the North Shore in Massachusetts for the summer and barely work and have a good time.
And have a tax write-off for it.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I mean, because of it, you know, I got to work as an extra. It's fun. It's you know, big, but thank you. But the movie's going to suck. It's going to be bad.
Yep.
Okay.
Flush that turd.
Yes.
No, tell us how you really feel. oh, 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 I'll tell
you.
That's right
terrible.
Now.
Yes, that's just bad. So now that we're done with movies, why don't we go into music? Mm-hmm. Is everybody ready to talk about some music?
I am.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So why don't we go into best new artist or group? And how about you go first, DCD, on this one? Who's like a new artist that has come out this year who has just like really surprised you?
God, I can't help but think of Airborne Toxic Event. Mm. They've had a pretty good year, you know. But I'll tell you this: one of the big ones I've grown like really familiar with that I didn't hear before this year. You ever heard of a band called Shiny Toy Guns?
Yes,
they're a great band, and they had some great songs released this year. I've just been hooked on them. It's really good stuff.
I think their second album, I forget what it's called, which is sad because I do own it. I think that's been their best. I don't know if they've released anything since then. But Shiny Toy Guns are a really good group, a very underrated one.
Are you talking about, let's see, we got We Are Pilots, there's an album called Three, and there's another one called Lit Disco? I don't know. It's one of those.
It's not one of those ones, no.
It's Seasons of Poison?
Seasons of Poison.
I'm sorry, I was close.
Seasons of Poison, that one was such a great album. I felt like it was one of those albums that just wrapped itself together and told a sort of narrative that I don't even think the band initially thought of doing in the first place, but somehow that's just how the album turned out to be. It felt like it was telling you a story.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Sorry, I was trying to like look through all their songs. They've got so many good ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, between them, I mean, there's just like a bunch of different musicians that had their way, but I mean, I just love like Shiny Toy Guns stuff. So I'm going to say them, even though they didn't release anything, I would say majorly new, but there's still enough there that, you know, they're definitely up and coming. And I certainly hope they sell out more shows.
Okay. A band that I picked my best new artist for, they're a group that I saw open up for a group of friends of mine. They're called Queen Cadvet. They're from Los Angeles. And their front woman, it's a bunch of guys and a front woman who goes by the name of Lauren Little. She and I had a kind of a close encounter with her in an audience as she sang. When she was in the crowd, she was like pulling guys toward her, and I was right there. She like grabbed my like cheeks and almost kissed me. It was weird but awesome at the same time. But their recent sophomore EP, Slap on the Wrist, it's a great EP. Not a bad track on there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do with a full album.
Nice.
Okay. All right, Issues Guy, how about you?
Yeah, first off, most interactions with women are strange, but somewhat awesome as well. And and the best new act of this year is this band out of the South called Cusses. They also have this really awesome front woman named Angel Bond. They have a really awesome raw sound, like hard rock with a new sort of feel as well. Their first album just came out and is actually doing really well. And I was really surprised to hear, because I know her, I'm not biased. Maybe I'm a little biased, but I know her, and I was surprised to find out that MTV still plays videos, and her video is actually getting played on MTV. So that was a big surprise to find out. But the band Cusses, look out for them. They're a really good young band out there making some nice music. It's similar but not cloyingly similar to Evanescence. It has a little bit of that same soul to their early music. But yeah, if you're into that type of thing, check them out.
Awesome. Okay, how about you, Russ?
I don't really listen to a whole lot of new music, but there's a band that not many people know about, that kind of came out on their own with one of their newer albums this year called Stolen Babies. They're a southern, they're like a kind of a mid California act that they hadn't released an album in like 6 years, so they're basically a new band to anyone who didn't listen to them 6 years ago, which is quite a while. Mm-hmm. They had a new album called Not that came out earlier this year that was just spectacular.
Nice.
So let me ask you to transition. Would that be also your pick for favorite local act or?
Yeah, I would have to think so.
Okay. For my favorite local act, there's a group out of, because I consider all of New England sort of local. There's a group out of Providence that just really just surprised me when I saw them live called Math the Band.
Math the Band, great name.
Yeah, they have this like crazy live antics. They truly put another one of my favorite bands, Matt and Kim, to shame. And this year that they have a new album out called Get Real, and they're releasing a music video for every single song. And my favorite video that they've done so far is for this song called Positive Stress, and it's about a guy who gets a superhero cape sent to him, and he goes out and saves the world and does really crazy shit. It's really hilarious.
The greatest American hero.
Yeah. And it's one of those, and that album, Get Real, is one of the wildest albums this year. And it's a true party starter, too.
Nice.
DCD, what was your favorite local act from your area this year?
God, I mean, there were so many bands, I don't even know where to begin, but let me just, can you come back to me?
Sure.
I'm going to talk about two bands in the area for two different styles of music.
Before I begin, these aren't any bands that you're in, right?
No. Unfortunately, I'm not gonna do any self-publicized shit right now. But no, two bands that I'm friends with, or I know them from the area. One of them, if you're into funk music, I mean like 70s style funk, check out the band The Big Old Dirty Bucket. They're literally they're a 10-piece funk band with horns, conga player, this female singer with crazy pipes. A friend of mine is the keyboard player, and he founded the band. And they are playing, you know, they play the Gathering of Vibes. They play all the hippie festivals in the area around here. So definitely check them out. They're an amazing local band. And they also have their first album out. If you're in the area, in the Boston area, you can get their record at Newberry Comics. And they have, go to their website, bigolddirtybucket.com, I believe, or just Google Big Old Dirty Bucket. Not many people have that name. And the other band, for a rock band, a local band called Planetoid. They're out of Boston, and they're literally one of the best bands I've ever seen in my life. They are three guys. Well, they're not really guys. They're aliens from different planets, and they've come to basically take your soul. And they're a complete act. They dress up in costume, and they are those characters throughout the evening. And
so they're kind of like P. Lander Z in some form.
In some ways, and kind of, they're inspired by the David Bowie age of the Ziggy Stardust age of David Bowie, but their music is just straight up like AC/DC rock style, just straight rock music, a little bit progressive at times too, White Stripes ish at times, but definite rock music, and they're always playing around the Boston area. Planetoidmusic.com, I believe, is their website, so check out the band Planetoid. They're sick.
Excellent. All right, going back to DCD, have you chose someone yet?
I have three. Because I had to mention the American Jewgrass, because they're like a bluesgrass band, but all made up of Jewish guys. So I had to mention
fucking Shalom. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a band called Snake Rattle Rattle Snake that's actually really good. Good alternative rock band. And then I think my personal favorite is Spires. They're over there at listentospires.bandcamp.com. That's where you can find their four song CD. And it's actually a really cool, groovy little sound to it. So if you guys get a chance, check that out. Again, it's listentospires, all one word, .bandcamp.com. Excellent. Give it a listen. We'll have fun with it.
Awesome.
And of course, American Jewgrass. Just like saying it, I don't know why. I mean, Hanukkah's over, but you know.
Yeah. All right. So, best live act. Like, who was the best artist or band that you saw live this year? Like, for me, to be finally able to see that I saw Rammstein live in concert. Oof, oof. There's like no other group out there that could really beat what Rammstein does live on stage. Everything's on fire, things are exploding, and the music is just so epic and powerful. And
I hate to correct you, but Gwar on Halloween night.
Ooh. Oh, that's
Gwar is spectacular live.
That is great.
Gwar is another band on my list, like near the top of groups that I need to see live.
Because they put on a show and they like. They, like, grow blood everywhere.
Yeah, it's like going to see Gallagher, too, mixed in. You know, if Gallagher threw blood on you instead of pumpkins. Or no,
not. Yeah, it's like, if we don't stop this explosion, Gwar will be forced to turn into a Christian rock group.
And everybody's like, no! And they start star charging the stage.
Yeah. But yeah, Gwar is another band I really wanted to see live. So I'm glad that you picked them as your favorite live act as well.
Yeah, that was fun.
Alright. How about you, Russ? Who was your favorite band to see live this year?
Devin Townsend Project. Hands down. That man is... I don't even know how the hell he can have as much talent as he has and create anything. Like, I have never heard a song of his I didn't like. His live shows are always hilarious and ridiculous, and he's always just having fun, and all of his, like, everything he releases is just spectacular.
Okay.
Anyways, he's in support of his new album, Epic Loud, which is a complete just fun, like, kind of like high energy rock album, but he's done everything from that to like ambient stuff to heavy metal stuff to just ridiculous silliness. He has a character from a concept album he did called Ziltoid the Omniscient, who's an alien from outer space who plays guitar, and he has him like doing little things like pre-show while he's getting ready to do it, like while he's setting up to do his set. And this year they did when I saw him in LA, he did something called Ziltoid TV, which is the little puppet kind of like doing stuff, and they played really annoying little like internet meme songs like I'm an Orange, or like that Orange song, and like the Bucket Full of Crabs song, and all that is ridiculous stuff.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like an interesting person for me to check out. All right, Issues Guy, favorite concert of the year?
This one wasn't even tough for me, because I finally this year got to see Weird Al Yankovic live, and it was truly one of the greatest experiences from a theatrical and audiovisual standpoint. And it was years and years of my life hyping what it's going to be like to see Weird Al live, and just with all the costume changes, getting to see all the highlight videos from UHF and from all his Al TV stuff mixed in with him and his band performing amazing. Like when they do a song like Smells Like Nirvana, you feel like you're watching Nirvana for a second. He came right out into the audience, started humping this lady a few seats away from us. It was one of my favorite artists and comedians or comic rockers of all time, and getting to see him live finally, it was a fucking religious experience. And
now, I'll tell you what, they released a Blu-ray. Talk about the Alpocalypse. I think that was the tour they saw. There was a moment during the show, like near the end, that they stopped doing a song altogether and they just went off into this rhythmic riff where they all matched together perfectly. It was like about a 2-something minute, like sing-along riff. Yep. And I don't know if they did it live for you or not.
Yep, no, they absolutely did. They did that. And
it was amazing.
Yeah, and the band itself, he's been playing with the same band for pretty much his whole career, and you can just tell. A lot of people will just throw it away, but his band rocks. They play all those styles seamlessly, and then they have their own unique style when he picks up the friggin', oh my god, I'm blanking.
Accordion.
And just starts jamming. In fact, that's how the show started, with just this unique accordion jam. And Weird Al is just amazing. I don't know how old he is. I know he's not that old.
He's like about
the fact that he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is still a travesty.
It's ridiculous.
It really is.
And he puts on such an amazing physical show out there, to jumping into that fat suit and dancing in all the rhythm time with fat. And it was just one of the best shows maybe I've ever seen in my life.
I was going to give his age. He's 53.
53. He's only 53? Wow.
I know. Amazing.
Yeah, but he is a fucking amazing. And his voice is... He's so much better at, like, when you hear him sing those things and do the things live. And at the end, it's so impressive. But and at the end of the whole show, he ended it with the My My This Hair Anakin Guy, which I like better than the original song. I can't even listen to...
American Pie.
I'll turn that fucking song off. But if I ever hear that Weird Al version, I'll listen to that 100 times. And then he had people like, you know, Stormtroopers and Darth Vader in the, like, the actual costumes come out, and he dresses up all the stage crew of the particular arena he's in all the Star Wars stuff, and they become part of the show in the last song when he does Yoda and the Anakin guy song, which is the best part of Episode One, is that song.
Yeah.
Yep.
Darth Maul killing Liam Neeson, but that's Weird Al, definitely.
Okay, so Do you want to go with first the song of the year or the song you wish you would get out of your head first? Which would be the best one for you guys to do?
I maybe the song that we can't get out of our head because I probably won't want to talk about it too much.
Right.
It's stuck in my fucking head again.
Okay.
Okay. It came down to a two, but ultimately it's that fucking Call Me Maybe song.
Oh.
Hey, I just met you.
This is crazy. This is crazy. But here's my gamer tag. So
call me maybe. Oh my God.
Here's a condom. So fuck me, maybe.
And I watch all those horrible television singing competition shows. Yeah, it's another guilty pleasure of mine. I have a lot of free time when I'm working, writing shit. I like bad crap on in the background. It inspires me to be angry. But everybody's covering that stupid song, so it's everywhere. I can't escape it. It sucks. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, my pick is kind of it's similar to yours. Mainly because of the really bad covers. First of all, I'm a lover of the Asian music scene, and I'm really happy that more people are starting to pay attention to all the music that's happening over in Japan and in Korea. But really, Gangnam Style is the one that's going to have people turn their heads. I've checked out Psy. He has a lot better songs, but Gangnam Style is just... It's not a bad song. It's just... crap compared to all the other stuff that he's done. And the thing about the really bad covers, the worst offender of that has to be Glee.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I just saw the commercial for that, and it just reaffirmed my pure hatred for that series. I had that Elvis moment where I just wanted to put a bullet through my TV set. And I do admit, okay, so maybe the song did get popular because of the video, but how come another video by an Asian group, M-Flow, She's So Out of Control, didn't hit their airwaves, which was such a better video because of one thing, it had hot Asian topless cheerleaders in it. How did that not get a billion YouTube hits?
But I don't know, but I want the link now.
put that in this.
All right, but let me see if I can find that link for you while DCD, you choose the song you wish would get out of your head.
I just want Nicki Minaj dead. Can I just say that now? Because Stupid Ho has to be one of the worst songs ever put to... Oh, my God.
But it's so adequately described.
Seriously, you know? I mean, she's like, you know, looks like a pop diva and everything like that, and that song was just really an insult. That was even worse than anything Chris Brown has done, and that's saying something.
It's amazing when you can be so horrible and so at both singing and rapping. You know, like, so usually someone's good at one of the two, you know, but she's just horrible at both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just kill me.
Yeah.
All right. Russ, how about you for a song that you wish would just get out of your head?
This video helps.
Despite the fact that I actually like this song quite a bit, that Nero song that came with Borderlands 2.
Oh, yeah.
I like this song, but you hear it a couple of times, and you're done. Because you can't get that like one little like dubstep part out of your head,
mm-hmm.
and you just want to like make your head explode so you don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So now for Song of the Year. Going back to like dubstep, EDM stuff. Out of all the songs that like that came out this year, the one that every time I listen to, I just feel like inspired. I just feel like I'm floating in the air while this song plays. I just feel just total happiness, despite the fact there are some like dark lyrics to it. The Velt by Deadmau5 featuring Chris James. It is such a song for you to... It's just one of those songs where if you want to create something... Play that in the background, and you will come up with like something brilliant and crazy, and just awesome. And it was so cool how this song came to be. Like Deadmau5, he creates this instrumental track live during a whole streaming session. The next day, this no-name guy, Chris James, he adds his own vocals to it, and Deadmau5 loves it so much that he contacts him and say, "Hey, let's make this the official song, the official version," and. Just every time that I play it, every time that I listen to it, it just, my heart just flutters. I just love this song so much.
All right, well, I guess I'll go next.
Yeah, you go, DCD.
I've been waiting for a good Rush song in forever, you know, because it's like they produce some good stuff, but it's like nothing that really sticks in my head. And when they released a song called The Wreckers, that song just immediately entered my top playlist, and it still hasn't left. It is just a great, simple, but well-made rock song. So definitely track down The Wreckers when you get a chance.
Okay. Russ.
I'm actually going to go with a hip-hop song by a guy named Childish Gambino. He's actually the actor Donald Glover.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this guy is amazingly talented. And he released an album called Camp this year, and the first single was called Bonfire. And that song is brutal, and especially with his wordplay, because he actually makes a joke about our wordplay about Casey Anthony. And it's really harsh, but really awesome.
Nice.
So that was probably one of my favorite songs I listened to more than just about any other song this year.
Okay. Issues guy.
I'm going to be a victim of the moment right now with the song that I'm obsessed with listening to right now, and that's the studio version from the Sound City documentary of Cut Me Some Slack with Paul McCartney fronting the guys from Nirvana. I love hearing Dave Grohl play drums again. It's why I like, part of the reason why I like them Crooked Vultures so much, that and John Paul Jones from Zeppelin playing bass. And I love Paul McCartney. I love a lot of his newer music that he's put out, the Flaming Pie album. His most recent album's got some songs on it. I like it as well. He's one of my favorite songwriters of all time. And speaking of just straight ahead rock songs, there's not a lot to it. It's not, you know, it just sounds like a band jamming and with some crazy slide guitar. So, and especially the studio version of it, they performed it really well on Saturday Night Live. And at the 12-12-12 concert was cool too, but the studio version just rocks if you haven't heard it yet. So download it, get it, whatever.
And they did not perform in leather dresses, by the way.
No. I want a whole album. Yeah, I already do. Or a tour. Go ahead, do it. Paul McCartney saying he had a great time. Tour. Foo Fighters taking a break.
Might as well. It'll sell like millions of copies.
Yeah, probably. Oh. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's go into album of the year, and I know DCD's got to go quickly. So.
Yeah, and this is actually one in which I won't be able to come back. Sorry. Yeah. You're back. Now you're leaving. Now you're back. Make up your fucking mind. It's a drink, so you're out. That's what she said. But anyway.
Yes. Album of the year.
Album of the year. So who's going first?
You are, DCD.
Oh, sure.
That's what I said. You go first.
You ever hear of a guy named Frank Ocean?
Yes.
He does this damn good R&B shtick, and I'll tell you, Channel Orange is a great album. I mean, between his album and Fiona Apple making a comeback with that the Elder Wheel blah, 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 blah story on the front cover album, those are both good. And also I'll give a shout-out to the Japan Droids Celebration Rock album. That was good, too.
Awesome. Nice. See, my pick of the year has to go to the band Mono. They're a Japanese instrumental rock band. They're out their new album For My Parents. It basically cements them as the greatest instrumental rock band in the world, and it just makes you. It baffles me that no one, not like a big director, has ever gone up to them and said, "Hey, would you mind doing the soundtrack for this movie of mine?" Because they make like the greatest soundtracks to movies that don't exist. That's like the best way to describe their music. Nice. Seriously, go onto like Bandcamp, type in Mono, and type in Japan just in case. Listen to the album. Your jaw will just be on the ground from start to finish.
Sweet.
Nice. Right.
Issues guy.
I roughed it down to two. Either Buckethead's Electric Sea album. I'm a huge Buckethead fan. And
is this like his 130th album?
Yeah, it is. It's one of my favorite of his albums.
Buckethead is incredible, though.
Yeah, he is. It's
ridiculous. Like, I could just listen to his music constantly. And I wanted to get into the conspiracy theory. I wanted to believe that Buckethead really was Les Claypool, but that they weren't the same. But they're not the same person. I know that. But yeah. Just to talk to any conspiracy theory nuts out there, any of my friends that listen to my show that you call me and try to tell me they're the same person, I did it. They're not the same fucking person. But anyways, Buckethead's album, or I got to give credit to Tenacious D's album, one of the best albums.
The Ride of the Phoenix.
Rise of the Phoenix. Yes. I had a lot of great times listening to that.
So anyway, guys, I'm sorry I got a bolt, but thank you again for having me on the show.
Anytime. Thanks for coming back. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Take care. Russ, your pick for album of the year.
Both of those were very good choices. I did enjoy both those albums, but I'm going to have to give it to either go with the newest Death Clock album, which was surprisingly good. Like, Death Album 1 was amazing because it was all the songs from, like, the best season, which is the original season. I thought the second two seasons were kind of not as great, so the Death Album 2 album wasn't as good. But this one came out and just was crushing.
Yeah.
And between that, probably Devin Townsend's Epic Loud and the accompanying Epic Louder, which was like the second CD on the deluxe set, or probably would have to go with like a new Buckethead album. He's just so good that I can't imagine anybody else doing anything. It's hard to even keep up with him.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, he releases like 7 albums a year. It's hard to keep up with that guy.
I tried at one point, and I was caught up. It was like right after Albino Slug, and then I gave up.
Yeah, you have to at a certain point. You're like,
there's like that 9 album release that he did. He can only buy it from his shows, and then there's the It's crazy.
Yeah, Blueprint did 11 albums at once.
Yeah, it's insane how much he records. But for the final one. The album to look out for in 2013. Because we know that there's a lot of bands in the studio right now. What is the album you think is going to be the one that everyone's going to talk about next year?
Mm.
And for me, it's got to be the new Queens of the Stone Age album. Because the songs for the Death Era is back. You've got Dave Grohl at the drum kit.
Yep.
You've got Nick Ivory, the former bassist, back for recording vocals. You got Mark Lanegan helping to write some of the songs. Trent Reznor has made official that he's going to be guesting on the album. As is Jake Shields, the lead singer of the band Scissor Sisters. He's going to be guesting on the album. And it's just been 5 years since Era Vulgaris, so it's time for Josh Homme to save us once again with that awesome rock style that he does. Because you mentioned it too. Them Crooked Vultures was such a great album.
Yeah, I love that first album. That was one of my favorite albums in the last couple of years.
And we're basically getting Josh and Dave again on this album, and I can't wait to hear it. I'm like the biggest Queens of the Stone Age fan. I even have the original 1998 CD release that you can't find, not the reissue, the original that you can't find anywhere. And I'm just so stoked for that album to just come out.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. How about you, Russ? What's your album to look out for next year?
I got a couple of them. And most of them won't be ones that everyone is talking about because I don't listen to a lot of music people do. But again, Devin Townsend is releasing actually possibly 2, technically 3 albums next year.
Oh, wow.
He's got the sequel to the original Ziltoid, the Omniscient record, called D-Squared, which is going to be awesome just because everybody's been just clamoring for another Ziltoid album since he released it. Plus, he's also got The Casualties of Cool, which is supposed to come out next year, and that's going to have a bonus disc with bonus material from one of his last albums called Ghost, which is his ambient album, which is going to be called Ghost 2. So anything that he's doing over there is going to be just spectacular, as well as the band Arion. They're like a weird avant-garde European band. They do a lot of concept albums. They're this huge story that's gone across several albums, and they'd broken up about 2 years ago because the main creator, Arjun Lucassen, had decided that he wanted to do other stuff, and he brought it back, and he's apparently releasing a new album next year. It's to be announced, but if it comes out next year, that's going to be amazing because they created one of the best bands that I've one of the best albums I've ever heard, and the Human Equation album. It's the only album that I can listen to over and over again and still get emotional over.
Yeah, that's how I feel about my pick for my last year pick for album of the year, David Comes to Life by Fucked Up. That's how I get when I listen to that. I get emotional at the exact same spots. And even though I hear it hundreds of times, it still just grabs at my heart.
If any album that can do that to me, it's amazing. I know the story like front and back, and it still gets me every single time.
Yeah. All right, Aaron Issues Guy, your pick for an album to look out for in 2013.
That was beautiful, guys. But the two albums I'm looking forward to are a little bit different of a mood. And I've got to go back to my past. And nothing about feeling or emotion, just raw rage. Two bands coming out with new albums next year. Suicidal Tendencies and fucking Anthrax. Well, yes. Especially, not so much Anthrax. I mean, I love Anthrax. But I'm more looking forward to Suicidal Tendency because it'll be their first album since 2000. And supposedly it is the first of three albums. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm at a shortness of like crazy metal craziness. I need some new. I've worn myself out on all the old stuff. I need some new crazy stuff to beat the shit out of people in my house alone, or myself, you know, or my pets, or my toys, or my Barbies. Oh no, not my Barbies. Wait, sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a really mixed up show with people coming and going and coming and going and always so soon. But for next week's episode, we're hoping to have a few more guests joining us, especially one guy who's going to be joining us from Australia, hopefully.
Ooh.
So look out for that one next week. So this is the part of the show where we all do our promos.
Yay,
promos! Remember, for the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, go to our website at www.b3crew.com. Like us on Facebook on facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade. Follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And be sure to check out our Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Issues Guy, your turn.
I'm Phil, the Issues Guy. You can check me out at issuesprogram.com. Search me on Facebook if you search the Issues Guy. On YouTube, Issues Radio Program. Follow me on Twitter at I Got Issues Man. Most of my shows are live on Thursdays on Ustream. You'll see the links to it on my website or on different places like that. And soon my podcasts will be on the website and news and such like that. So you can check me out there. Thank you very much.
Okay. And Russ, promo away.
You can catch me at digitalnoob.com. Well, we're an EGM partner, so go to egmnow.com/digitalnoob, and you'll find us there. We got game reviews, at movies, music, and I do quite a bit of comic book stuff. You can check us out on Twitter at digitalnoob_com. I found a DN_noobcrawler. You can check us out on Facebook at Digital Noob. You can check out our comic book page at Comic Book Daily News. It doesn't really have much of a URL, but you can just look for it or find me through Facebook or Digital Noob, because we all kind of promote everything. And you can just kind of go there and check us out and see all the cool stuff that we do.
Awesome.
Awesome. Okay, Issues Guy, Russ, great having you on the show. So, until
thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Phil, the Issues Guy.
And this is Russ.
Reminding you... You don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure
helps.
It almost matched.